This is Bill McMinn from Inkable Bible Church, and this is the Way to Go podcast, where we talk about faith, family, and daily life, putting the Bible into practical, everyday terms.
This is the Way to Go podcast, Bill McMinn, along with Bradley, and we are happy to be here today. Actually, talking Good Friday, it's coming right up, so these podcasts will be airing on the week of Good Friday, and I like to always think about the life of Christ ahead of that crucifixion, because when he comes in for the triumphal entry, there's roughly about a week there of time where he's going to the temple, he cleanses the temple, he's working, he's teaching, people are getting up early, like he's sleeping at the Mount of Olives, and then he's coming, then he's coming in and he's praying, and I think that's kind of awesome. You know what I mean? So he's, and then they're seeking him and listening to him early. People are coming to ask him questions and all this kind of stuff. Judas has Satan enter him, which is pretty profound. You know, when you think about Luke 22 and kind of starting there, it says, then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was one of the number of the 12. And he went away and conferred with the chief priests and officers how he might betray him, meaning Jesus, into their hands. And they agreed to give him money for that. What do you think about that? I mean,
first off, he was one of the 12.
Right.
That just deeply, like, he's seen all the miracles. He's seen all of the, just everything, how he treated people. Like, you were literally with physical God.
Right.
And you still betrayed him.
Right. Right.
Like,
I think, too, you know, you have Satan entering. I think if I was a Christian and I read this verse and I don't really maybe know a lot about the Bible and I read the Satan enter Judas, I would be thinking to myself, well, what keeps that from happening to me? Mm-hmm. If he's one of the 12, like you said, and Satan entered him, and then next thing you know, he's betraying Jesus Christ. I think the way we have to realize is this is not a hapless victim here. This is not somebody who was really doing everything right. He was really serving God, and he's a pure innocent. You know, five minutes before that, he's doing nothing but spending time on his knees praying to God. And then all of a sudden, Satan does something dastardly to him, and he's out of control, and it's not his fault. This is a man who's been stealing.
Yes.
This is a man who's been greedy. This is a man who's had heart problems. The only reason Satan gets into this guy's heart is because he opened the door to it.
Yes.
So when you're not opening the door to Satan coming into your heart and influencing your thinking, he's not going to be able to do it. Plus, we're filled with the Holy Spirit since Jesus Christ died, went to heaven. He sent the Holy Spirit. So we actually have the indwelling Holy Spirit. So a Christian cannot be possessed by the devil. And that's one thing I think it's comforting for us to know. Yes. However, you can be influenced. Like if you open yourself up to the influence of evil, you're going to be influenced by evil, right?
Yes, and it'll be a continuous influence. Just like I think of in Genesis with Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. It wasn't that God hardened his heart. It was the fact that he wasn't going to go anywhere that he wanted to go anyways.
Yeah, no, I've said that so many times. God didn't take Pharaoh anywhere Pharaoh didn't want to already go. And Satan's not taking Judas anywhere Judas doesn't want to go.
Yes.
He's not an innocent. And so for us, when we're already bent on evil and going the wrong direction, evil can kind of go and knock us off course. But I think this guy, I mean, God knew there would be somebody to betray him. This was always part of the plan. They're sitting at the Last Supper. One of you is going to betray me. Who's it going to be? I mean, it's surprising to me that they don't have it figured out. That's how cunning evil is and how it can cloak right in. I was always amazed even, I remember one time Jesus Christ at the synagogue, and right in the synagogue, someone's demon-possessed and crying out, Jesus Christ is healing them. And I'm like, that's like church. You know, church, any bad influence can be there, and some of it can cloak and look just like normal. So you really have to look at the fruit of the person's life to determine, you know, what is something I should be listening to? What is something I should not be listening to? But as he goes on, so he agrees to betray him, and then he has Passover, and he institutes the Lord's Supper, which is a beautiful thing. And he says, this is the covenant in my blood. And one thing you got to realize is back in Jeremiah 31, I believe it is, the new covenant is spoken of. And in that passage in Jeremiah, there was always a new covenant, which covenant meaning God's deal with man, where he said, I'm going to forgive your sins, remember them no more, and write my laws in your heart. And I think since Christ died, when he died on the cross, paid for our sins, that's one thing that we have is God's new deal with man. God will forgive us and write his laws in our heart via the Holy Spirit. And I think that's powerful that you know what the right thing to do is, right?
Yeah, and I even just briefing over this, backing up a little bit, is when he even had the disciples setting up for the Passover meal. Like he was, it was a show that Jesus was in control of all this right from the gate.
Right.
he already had everything. Hey, go see this guy. Go see this. There'll be a guy. He already had it all, knew exactly where, what, when.
Right.
And so he just shows that he's in control, even to his arrest, to him dying on the cross. He could easily...
Well, he, and well, even going early too. I mean, yes. He knows that they're going to be celebrating Passover a little bit of a different time because he knows he's mm-hmm. going to be gone on the day everyone else is celebrating Passover, yeah. right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's on Thursday. This is on a Friday. He'll be crucified on a Friday.
Yeah.
And that's the day the Passover lambs were sacrificed. Yes. So he's kind of ahead of the game, but he knows all things. He knows he's going to be crucified. He knows he's going to be on the cross on Friday, and he still goes through it anyway. I mean, that mm-hmm. to me is such an amazing thing right there. So then they just celebrate communion. You know, it's such a spiritual time. And I think about the difference between spirituality and our humanity, man. We just wrestle all the time because next thing you know, they're disputing amongst themselves which is regarded the greatest. Jesus Christ has this beautiful time. Hey, it's the Last Supper. We see pictures of it all the time. What you don't see pictures of is them arguing as to who's the greatest. Yeah. That's not the picture hanging in everyone's house. It's always the Last Supper. They're all sitting together, getting along, right? And then you got this argument. Well, who's the greatest? So he says, and you got to think about all the stuff on his mind, really. Like right now is the time that you guys want to argue about that. So he mm-hmm. said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. Not so with you. Whoever wants to be the greatest, let him become as the youngest, and the leader is one who serves, right? So there it is. If you want to be great, serve.
Yes. Yep.
So what do you think about that part of it?
Definitely. I mean, that's what we need to be doing is serving, because that's what Christ did.
Right.
Don't be looking to be exalted. Don't just serve.
Right.
And God will bless those little serving moments that you're doing. Serving, there's many opportunities to serve,
right.
let alone people around you. Just looking, be observant, right. and you'll find ways to serve right. others.
Well, in John, Jesus Christ has already washed their feet. Mm-hmm. Also, right before that dinner.
Yeah.
So this conversation would be right on the heels of Jesus Christ washing their feet. And I like how he tells them in other passages as well, like Mark 10, you know, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, yes. to give his life a ransom for many. And he talked about how the leaders like to have authority. And I really do think people love, oh, I'm the boss, I have authority, I'm important. Mm-hmm. That's not important. What's important is that just take your time to serve and just take little opportunities, whether that's reaching out to somebody to see how they're doing, yes. helping your spouse, pick something up around the house, watching a kid, to give your wife a break, any number of grabbing the trash cans from the end of yep. the driveway, on and on and on and on. I mean, there's lots mm-hmm. of ways to serve. We've got activities at the church all the time where yep. like Easter extravaganza, just to set up the number of people that come out to something like yep. that. It's always amazing. Those are opportunities to serve. You're not there to be great. You're there yeah. to serve.
Sweep the floor, whatever, right. whatever help is needed.
Right. Absolutely. Because that's the humility.
Yes.
That I pick up from Christ. You know, if you want to hear, we're coming into Good Friday. I mean, one of the themes for us would have to be humility mm-hmm. because Christ humbles himself to die. He's going to be tortured up there. It's going to be absolutely horrible, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to be great,
yes.
then you need to be humble. Serving. Now, he also tells him, this is interesting, because in verse 31 of Luke 22, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat. Who's this guy, right? Satan. He's going to come and demand that you give me Peter so that I can sift him like wheat. And this is right on the eve of the crucifixion of Christ. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Man, what's yeah. he concerned about? That what Satan wants is, I'm going to break down his faith. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Job. What did he yeah. want? So that he would curse God. He wanted to break down his faith. He said, I don't want you to break down your faith, right? So he said, and when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. And Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny me three times. That you even know me. You're going to deny me three times.
And that's where he gets a rude awakening. Because
right.
he thinks, nah, I ain't gonna do that. And a lot of times that crosses my own mind. If someone were to come in and point a gun at your head and say, do you believe in Jesus? And it's like, of course I would say yes.
Right.
But if it actually happened, would you? And that's where it's
like, I think you would, to be honest. But yeah, because you're not going to deny that you know him. You just, we wouldn't do it. And I think that one of the reasons, because you have Peter and you have these kind of examples of what that's like. But it was brutal because after he denies him, eventually that third time, he'll lock eyes with Jesus Christ and see him as he's being at his trial. And that hurt, man. He went out and wept bitterly. But it's all easy to say what you're going to do. Oh, you know, I'm going to be there till the end. You don't have to worry about me.
And take a bullet for your wife.
Yeah, exactly. Until the time comes, then you're running and screaming, you know, like, you know what I mean? It's like, those are other stories. But that's making me laugh thinking about some of the things my wife and I have joked with each other about stuff. But anyway, no, I would take a bullet for my kids and my wife. Mm-hmm. And my grandson, I mean, for sure. Like, when I don't even think, actually, I think it would be so instinctual for you that you wouldn't think a thing about it because you actually do deeply love your family. Mm-hmm. Like, those are not just words.
Yeah.
I mean, you as a man, you love your kids and you love your spouse. Mm-hmm. And when you have grandkids like I do, you love them too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's powerful and it's moving. And that's the kind of love that Christ has for us. But that whole thing of Satan wanting to put you to the test, you can't ignore that or think that that couldn't happen to any one of us.
No.
And the answer is to be praying. You know, the answer is to be praying. And when my faith gets tested or my faith gets rattled, God, am I still believing in you? Am I still believing? Because Satan wants to do this. He wants to sift me like wheat. And the sifting of wheat is kind of a violent process of just kind of pitching everything around so the chaff blows away to see, you're trying to see what's really there. Mm-hmm. What's this guy really all about? And Satan's already had, you know, he's already had his way with Judas, right? So now he's looking for Peter. He's not stopping with Judas. He's not content. He doesn't want just him. He wants somebody else. Mm-hmm. And he does get far enough advanced into it till Peter does, in fact, deny him three times.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, he denies him, but there's reconciliation, though.
Later.
That's not the end of the story, which is a great part where that's the difference between Peter and Judas that you have there.
Right. Well, you're not, he shouldn't have been braggadocious. He shouldn't have said earlier that, hey, you know, I'm going to go, Peter. Right? You know what I'm saying? I'll go with you to prison and death.
Yes. But that's just Peter. He's the blue collar kind of guy. I'll do this and. Will you?
he was pretty, I don't know what's the right word for him. Audacious, outspoken, you know, might be the perfect word for him. But anyway, so he does that. And then he has a little bit more of a conversation with him. And then he comes to his time of praying. He's up on the Mount of Olives and the disciples follow him. And then when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew about a stone's throw away, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I think that's powerful. Two things, praying that you not fall into temptation, praying for God's will to be done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that whole humble, you see, Lord being a servant of Christ.
Right.
Like he's willing to do his will, not what he wants, but what God wants. And that's how we have to be humble in same exact way.
Right.
That we, not my will, but your will be done.
Right. What do you think about the prayer of not falling into temptation? Pray that you not fall into temptation.
Yeah, I especially because Peter, he's might have been thinking of Peter, that he also don't let him fall into temptation. And we are going to be tempted. Just like he wants to sift us like wheat, we're going to be tempted. So we need to have the faith. This is why we need to be studying the Bible, so we can know what God says and defend it. Just like when Peter or when Jesus was fasting for those 40 days, what did he use against?
Right.
He used Scripture.
Right.
And that's what we need to be doing as well.
Right. Well, praying against temptation and that you not fall into temptation is also part of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. I really believe it should be a daily prayer of ours. God, keep me off a path of temptation. I've prayed it that way many times. Lord, just keep me out of harm's way. You want to be able to see that kind of stuff. And spiritually, our prayer life is part of what's happening. I think temptation's interesting because temptation is a spiritual thing, but a lot of times it's a physical thing too. Yeah. Because it's sitting on some appetite you have in your body that, expressing the right way wouldn't be a problem, but expressing the wrong way would certainly be a problem. So you have to look at what the temptation is. You can have kind of some evil in your ear, just, hey, mm-hmm. you should do that. Whether it's over drinking or somebody who's been away from drugs and there's addiction, or somebody who struggled with pornography and there's, hey, you should go ahead and look at that, which that's a, you know, it's a physical thing, but it's also a spiritual thing, right?
Yeah.
Because spiritually there's this battle going on, and you look at the flesh and the spirit, and it's interesting that, you know, when the Bible's looking at it, a lot of the acts of the flesh, that's the sin nature, and that's the battle. That's the act of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But then spiritually speaking, the way that we're overcoming it with like the fruit of the Holy Spirit and love and joy and peace and self-control and goodness and all these things. And my spiritual life is affected by my prayer life, because that's a spiritual act. So I have to defend myself spiritually. And I think it's one of the things that we have to realize. You need a spiritual fence around you. And that spiritual fence around you is going to come as you pray.
Yeah. No, and I was, while we were talking, I was thinking of the men's Bible study with, when we just had Judah and Joseph, where they're both being tempted in a certain way. Judah gave in and caused more chaos, where Joseph was a righteous man and not giving in to Potiphar's wife.
Right.
But I'm sure it's because he's close with the Lord.
Right.
I'm sure he's praying. I'm sure he's taking time to be with the Lord and understand his will. And
I mean, in your house, let's say it's summertime, would you just leave your screen door open and your outside door open all night long? Would you open a window without a screen in it and just leave it open?
I mean, sometimes, yeah, but
all the lights are on. Your house is going to be so full of bugs.
Oh, I thought you meant with a screen. No,
without screens.
No.
With screens, of course. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I was like.
I would know, because the screen's protection.
Yes.
But if you open your door at night, if you just propped open your screen door and your side door, my goodness, who knows what creature is going to come wandering in there at night? Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing stopping it. There's nothing stopping all the bugs from all the moths. Man, they love to come to my outside porch light and they flock to it. Well, I know that if I had a window open without a screen, they're all going to fly right through the window and go right to the same light in my kitchen or my living room. Yep. And so you have to be careful, like, what you're opening yourself up to. Mm-hmm. And to me, that prayer, if we want to look at it by way of analogy, would be the door and keeping evil at bay. Mm-hmm. I've got to be praying. I mean, this is like no joke. Jesus Christ says, guys, can't you even pray with me for 1 hour? Can't you just stay up and pray? They're all heavy with sorrow. You're that sorrowful, man. You should have been praying about it, right? And at least Jesus Christ, like you said, he's praying for his will to be done. So then after they're praying, this is a beautiful time. Like, you're praying. It doesn't mean you're going to get your way. It just means you're going to have strength when you don't. And here's the betrayal, and it says, while he was speaking, then a crowd and a man called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them, and he drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, would you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, Lord, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? Because they had a couple of them, and they take off the ear of the high priest, right? The servant of the high priest, I should say. They cut off his right ear, and Jesus said, no more of this, and then he heals him. And I think, man, here's Christ. You're arresting Jesus, and he's healing one of the people that came to arrest him.
Yeah, that's hard to, but that's where we need to love our enemies.
Right.
Even then, he cut his ear off, and Jesus heals it.
Well, I think of the whole betrayal, you know, why is he betraying him? Because Jesus Christ wouldn't do what he wanted him to do. And it's just that simple. Jesus Christ, Judas wanted what he wanted. He wanted somebody to take over. He wanted position. He wanted wealth and things like that. And when he didn't get his way, he's going to destroy him for it. And so when you look at this, and he's going to come down, and he said that this is amazing when he gets arrested. And Jesus Christ says to them in verse 53, when I was with you day after day in the temple, you didn't lay hands on me, but this is your hour, the power of darkness. Here are a bunch of religious leaders thinking they're doing the right thing. And Jesus Christ says, this is your time, man. This is nothing more than the power of darkness. Mm-hmm. And how do you know? So I was talking to you a little bit before actually doing this. It's like, well, how do you know that you're not, that you're being influenced by God rather than the power of darkness? And I really do believe when you're trying to destroy people, that's power of darkness stuff. Mm-hmm. When you're out and combating and hurting people like they're hurting Jesus Christ, that's power of darkness. What's Jesus Christ doing? Power of light. He's healing. Mm-hmm. So what direction am I taking? Am I taking a direction I'm hurting people, or am I taking a direction I'm healing people?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, that could be as simple as being with someone that you work with, not being rude, mean to them.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't always have to be something physical, but even those minor things.
Right. Like character assassination and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me because these guys all come with their clubs, man. They're ready. Jesus Christ, what are you doing, man? I was with the temple with you every day. Yeah. You didn't even try to lay a hand on me. But again, this is your hour.
Yep.
Like, this is the power of darkness. This is Satan is all over this. You know, Judas isn't the only one that Satan's been influencing, right? Mm-hmm. So he's been a player. And you don't even understand totally what Satan's game is, because Satan's going to lose in this whole process. I just don't think he realizes anything about that resurrection coming up or what's about to happen, or the power that's about to be unleashed when Jesus Christ dies on that cross. But to me, I've always been just fascinated by all of it. And I think that my takeaway from this is the humility. My takeaway is the need to pray. Mm-hmm. You have got to be praying and seeking God on a regular basis. So as we come into this week and just process, you know, what Christ went through, process his death, just be praying. You know, this should be a prayerful week for us as Christians. But we appreciate you tuning in, and hopefully our words have been helpful in some ways, and the Holy Spirit can use it. Tune in to the next podcast, and we'll be talking about more regarding the death of Jesus Christ.